The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.
You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at advanced medical testing centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome once again to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli, and I am joined this morning by Dr. Herb Slavin. He's back with us, and you have something special on the agenda, Dr. Slavin.
I don't know how special it is, but it's information that we have to be aware of, and when we want to make a decision, you have to have all the facts. Because the more facts you have, the better decisions you can come to.
Sometimes fact gathering might get in the way of ultimately making a decision that someone might say, oh, I don't have all of the facts yet, and put off the decision. And then the decision almost gets made for you. Just another point of view.
I mean, that's where they came up with the saying, ignorance is bliss.
No, not ignorance.
So in other words, you're saying you can never have enough information.
Failure to make a decision. Many times that's a negative. Sometimes you have to make a decision with the facts at hand.
Now, I'm going to ask you this question.
My goodness.
And you've come across in your dealings with people who have been treated with chemotherapy.
Yes.
What has your opinion been as far as the outcome of those types of treatments?
The people that I have seen who have used chemotherapy generally seek out my expertise because they have been damaged in some way. Sometimes there is a situation of neuropathy. That seems to be the most common issue that I'm asked to deal with.
So you're only seeing the ones that survived chemotherapy?
Of course.
I mean, overall, though, is your feeling that people should... Okay, let me ask you another question. In speaking to patients, many of them say they would never take chemotherapy. And I think there have been studies where doctors have been asked that question as well. And they say the same thing, that they wouldn't do it on themselves.
Okay, and I would pretty much agree with that. When I've been asked that question by a client, my answer is this: you never know what decision you're going to make until you're faced with having to make that decision.
Well, and then on the flip side of that, a patient said to me, well, if nothing else works, I'll take chemotherapy. So let me tell you the statistics that have come out about this. And these are not new statistics, but they're not frequently voiced. Okay. You don't hear about this. First of all, chemotherapy is one of the only government-approved treatment options for cancer in this country. The other approved cancer treatments are surgery and radiation. So that's the first thing. Isn't it interesting that there is no government-approved preventive program for cancer? I'm just saying.
You're just saying.
Yeah. So here's what they say. Chemotherapy fails upwards of 93% of the time, depending on which study you look at. Some studies show a failure rate of between 97 and 98%. And despite this, the cancer industry would have us all believe that it's the only tried and true lifeline for cancer patients.
That part I agree with, that the oncologists in general would talk to you and say, we have seen these successes. Now, it would be interesting to determine if the successes these oncologists have observed have been supported unknowingly with natural approaches. And I'm thinking of things like bicarbonate of soda, possibly intravenous vitamin C, ultraviolet blood treatment, far infrared sauna.
Well, I have a couple others. Have you ever heard of Phoenix tears?
No.
No? Many oncologists chide the notion that Rick Simpson's Phoenix tears.
Rick Simpson oil, yeah.
You heard of that one, right?
Okay.
That's cannabis oil.
Right.
Or the Gerson Institute's Gerson therapy have any therapeutic potential whatsoever in mitigating cancer. Yet at the very same time, these same oncologists will scare patients into signing up for chemotherapy regimens, even when their chances of survival on this antiquated protocol are next to nil.
And I have to say that I've seen it time and time again. And in my opinion, my role is not to give my opinion about the way things work, but rather put the selection out there, talk about how they work, talk about what I've observed with each of these things, the natural things, and then, you know, discuss it with their oncologist, because I'm not in charge of their cases. Now, my situation is different than yours, Dr. Slavin.
But we can be on the same side as this. You know, I'm not here to tell people use chemotherapy, don't use chemotherapy. What I'm here to try and promote, and maybe here, this is where I think you're going, where I can talk about it more than you, is preventive regimens. To, you know, try and keep yourself healthier. Avoid doing the things that undermine your health unknowingly. Because I don't think, most people don't knowingly undermine their health unless you're smoking or drinking to excess.
Sugar.
And, sugar. People don't even realize that sugar is an issue. And in fact, I remember when I first started in medicine a little over 30 years ago, obesity wasn't even considered a problem. Well, they wouldn't cover anything regarding obesity.
There were artificial sweeteners introduced into the diets of most Americans, as well as high fructose corn syrup.
Well, obesity, there were people who were obese 30 years ago, probably not to the level that it is today.
No, right.
I just want to continue. See, where I'm going here is trying to motivate people just to pay a little more attention to what they're doing to their bodies. Because when you get
what they're doing to their bodies in dietary choices as well as medical choices, I'm stunned by the number of people on 10 different pharmaceuticals and they wonder why they're ill.
Well, I mean, but it's related. If you make better dietary choices, you won't need the medication. But here's a study that was done out of Australia. It was a meta-analysis. And what that means is they put a bunch of studies together to increase the numbers so they come up with a more accurate interpretation of the statistics that they're looking at. And they looked at five-year survival rates of cancer patients undergoing chemotherapy. And their conclusions were even worse than the studies individually told. The contribution of chemotherapy to five-year survival in adult malignancies were estimated at 2.1 to 2.3% effective in treating adult cancers. In other words, it's not that these patients weren't treated. These patients probably received other treatments like surgery. So you did the surgery on the patient, and then you added on the chemotherapy, and it was only a 2.1 to 2.3% increased benefit.
Well, one of the things that I talk to people all the time about supporting themselves during chemotherapy treatment, and I tell them they must discuss it with their oncologist and get their oncologist's agreement that they can use these things. And my point is, you are targeting your malignant cells with the chemotherapy. Target your healthy cells with health-supporting substances. And you're going to need therapeutic doses, not on the label dose. You're going to need higher doses to support your healthy cells.
And these are the kind of things that I guess motivate me to say what I do on the radio show. If you were to substitute any other cancer treatment modality for chemotherapy, the mainstream medical system would declare it to be an utter quackery based on these findings. And yet they call chelation therapy quackery. You know, some of the other things we do here, quackery, which I see firsthand, making major improvements for the patient. And how do I know? The patients tell me. The patients are avoiding surgery. The patients are getting better without any side effects.
It's interesting because I just happened to come across information on a lawsuit by the quack doctor, the Barrett person, mm-hmm. who has a suit against Dr. Stata. And very, very interesting when you see what literally a nuisance lawsuit looks like. But if you have money from pharmaceutical companies and who knows what other corporations behind you, you can tie people up in the courts for years and years and years. And doctors, right, and doctor's data provides to the patient population very, very valid and important information. And here, the mainstream medical community, in person, Dr. Barrett, is interfering with that purveyance of knowledge.
Whatever happened to freedom of choice or interference with your ability to conduct business? Now, Doctor's Data is one of the labs that I use.
Right.
We use it to measure heavy metals in people. And I think that was one of their first tests that they offered to the public. I can't see any reason why you'd want to block that. Well, I can't see. Here's the reason. Because we do it's a urine test, a provocative test to measure the presence of heavy metals in the body that is excreted in the urine. Mainstream medicine would have you just do a blood test for heavy metals. Well, we all know that the heavy metals do not stay in the blood very long. They're stored in the tissues. So naturally, if you do blood tests, you're never going to find that heavy metals are an issue for those people.
Let's talk about some of the symptoms that people might be experiencing with the presence of those heavy metals. And if those heavy metals were to be removed efficiently, then the patient would not necessarily seek out psychiatric help, psychological counseling, a rheumatologist, a hematologist, nephrologist, all of those different specialties, and endocrinologist, all of those areas of the body negatively affected by the presence of heavy metals. Remove them and as the source of all of these different health problems, and you remove many reasons for visiting different doctors.
Well, as you know, lead is a heavy metal. They took that out of gasoline, out of paint. That's an admission. Heavy metals are an issue, but there are a lot of other heavy metals that aren't being addressed, like arsenic, cadmium, and mercury. And the only way on aluminum, and you should be tested for it because they're undermining your health as well.
And I hear music, and that means it's time for us to take a break here on Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimbrelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin. We'll be right back.
Are you concerned with the current state of your heart and blood vessels? Advanced Medical Testing Centers, your premier blood draw center, draws for Singulex Labs, which offers specialized blood tests that can help you uncover hidden cardiovascular disease that other tests may miss. Talk to your doctor today about the Singulex tests and call Advanced Medical Testing Centers to schedule your blood draw. We guarantee your on-time appointment and guarantee the lowest price. Call us at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a proud sponsor of Natural Doc Radio, which airs on this station each weekday morning at 10 a.m.
Hi, I'm Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor and co-host of Natural Doc Radio. We've all heard the phrase, trust your gut. But did you know that your gut or your digestive function is critical to your overall health? Indigestion and irritable bowel can lead to chronic illness throughout the body. Take the steps to ensure your gut is healthy by getting nutrients to your body that are necessary to fight off infections and disease. Keep your gut healthy. Go to JanetCimarelli.com and set up a counseling appointment with me. I'll explain how you can change your diet and change your life. And welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio, and a couple of reminders. I first want to let everyone know, remind you that Natural Doc Radio is brought to you by AMT Centers, Advanced Medical Testing Centers, where you're able to access a whole menu of different testing approaches that give you information about the state of your health found nowhere else. And if you're interested in finding out a little bit more about what's available at AMT Centers, if your insurance is accepted at AMT Centers, you can call 754-216-2332. Very important information. And remember to stay tuned here to Natural Doc Radio, because we'll be talking about upcoming seminars that will be held at AMT Centers. And then another reminder, Dr. Sherry Rogers is going to be joining us tomorrow, and she is absolutely a wealth of information. So we're going to have a really informative discussion with Dr. Rogers. Dr. Slavin.
Well, we were talking about chemotherapy. I just have a few more points, then we're going to leave that and switch to another topic. Since chemotherapy has a 97% failure rate.
Whoa, those sound like fighting words, Dr. Slavin.
And you never hear anything about it because it's big business. It brings in billions of dollars a year. And, for the whole industry, not just the doctors, a study conducted by Avalere Health in 2012 estimates the average treatment cost for a cancer patient undergoing conventional chemotherapy to be upwards of $20,000 for 3 to 4 months of care.
Okay, now, in general, that $3,000 to $4,000, is that
$20,000 for 3 to 4 months care?
Okay, $20,000. Is that paid by insurance 100%, or is it like 50%? What percentage insurance
I'm not sure.
And my point is,
somebody's paying for it.
Collusion. And what I'm saying is, Here's a therapy that doesn't work, yet the insurance company is supporting it.
Well, you start thinking about it. Multiply this out by the total number of cancer patients, and you'll see why this program, this treatment protocol, continues. Chemotherapeutic drugs are the only classification of drugs that the prescribing doctor gets a cut of. It's kind of interesting.
Whoa, I didn't realize that. Wow.
So they say here, I'm not sure I don't necessarily agree entirely. The only reason chemotherapy is used is because doctors make money from it. No. I'll make this statement. Doctors treat patients with what they get paid for. You know, if they don't get paid by insurance, they'll get paid by the patient. Well, the patients can't afford to pay for chemotherapy. It's so expensive. Who has $5,000 to $10,000 a month to pay for chemotherapy? You know, very few people. So, I mean, but that's what's paid for, so the doctors do it. I've always said you get what you pay for. I would venture to say if insurance covered chelation therapy, everybody would go for that, because not only is it an effective treatment if you need bypass surgery or angioplasty, it's even a better treatment to prevent the need for those procedures. So why do you think they don't pay for it?
It would put all of those doctors that I mentioned a minute ago out of business.
And there's another reason.
Severely restrict their income.
There's another reason they don't pay for it. There was a study done looking at the incidence of cancer in people getting chelation therapy. And this was done in Europe. It was a town on a interstate highway. And the presumption was, they were exposed to lead before lead was removed from the gasoline. So there was a lot of people getting lead exposure, and that increases the risk of many diseases. And they found that, and they chelated half the town, and they found out that half the town that was chelated had a 90% lower incidence of cancer than the other half that wasn't chelated. In other words, lead and other heavy metals played a role in cancer development.
Okay. Can you benefit by having one chelation treatment per month?
The answer is yes, after you've had the initial
treatments. So you must have the initial 30 treatments,
well,
measure?
Sometimes I say to people, you know, do first a heavy metal test if you're not sure if you're going to really benefit from chelation. But there are other benefits from chelation other than removing the heavy metals because of the vitamin C and other nutrients you're getting intravenously. But all that aside, do a heavy metal test. If you've accumulated lead, mercury, arsenic, cadmium, and I can tell you from years and years and years of doing these tests on people, it's very rare that we see someone that isn't accumulating these toxins because they're in the environment.
That was my position. I thought that anyone over the age of 50 has pretty much accumulated not only some toxic substances, but also calcification deposits in your circulatory system.
And the older you get, the more you accumulate. Chelation therapy has also been shown to move those calcifications back into the bone. So there are many benefits of chelation therapy, but I can't convince people to do chelation therapy, and I never try. But we provide it for patients who've read up on it, because when you read the science that is presented in many books written on chelation therapy, it makes perfect sense, and we could back it up. Not only, and I've seen this, you know, personally with improved stress tests on patients, but in other studies where patients have avoided amputation in the case of diabetics and peripheral vascular disease, avoided bypass and angioplasties, their symptoms get better. I have many patients who have had bypass surgery where their symptoms return and they go back to chelation and they start feeling better again. So it's, and last but not least, chelation therapy was a mainstream medical treatment back in the late 1940s, early 50s. And this was before the introduction of the heart-lung bypass machine, which made it easy for them to start operating and doing the current bypass surgery and angioplasties that they do today. It was the treatment that made great benefit for patients. And how did they know? Well, they used to judge people and the severity of their illness back then, because they didn't have all the tests that we have today, based on how many nitroglycerins a day patients would take to relieve their chest pain. And they found that when people got chelation therapy, their need for nitroglycerin, which dilates blood vessels to the heart, diminished. They needed less and less. So how do you interpret that? Increased blood flow to the heart.
Okay, increased blood flow to the heart. If someone has been diagnosed with an occlusion in a coronary artery, is chelation effective at either reducing the magnitude of that occlusion or at eliminating it? Can you break down those calcifications in the coronary arteries?
You can, yeah, the answer is yes. And I've seen that in looking at carotid artery disease, where you can see increased blood flow through the carotid arteries. But it also opens up collateral circulation that the patients have. So even if you have a blockage, if you can increase your collateral circulation naturally, then the heart is getting enough blood flow and the symptoms improve.
So there's this very, very wide range of benefits, but I'm going to address specifically those people who've been told you are a walking time bomb. I can't say how many times I've heard that phrase from different clients that I've worked with. And one person in particular comes to mind that he was told to get up from his cardiologist's office and walk across the street and check into the hospital, that he absolutely needed bypass surgery, and that if he were to walk away from that suggestion, he really was risking death. And instead, he went and had chelation therapy, and about 8 months later, returned with health reports to the cardiologist that told him he was a walking time bomb. And those scans showed that what had been a problem in a coronary artery was no longer present.
And the TAC trial to assess chelation therapy, recently completed, actually showed that chelation therapy is very effective. In fact, more effective than many of the treatments mainstream medicine uses. But nobody ever talks about it. In fact, I think they really went through with that trial, went ahead with it, hoping to prove that chelation therapy was worthless. Unfortunately, for the establishment, it proved the opposite, but
nobody heard
changed.
About it.
Right.
It's very interesting because we're talking mostly about heart function and circulation, cardiovascular disease, which is the number one killer of Americans. But chelation does go far beyond that. It will help to reestablish normal remineralization of the bone. So if someone is dealing with osteoporosis and is interested in reversing that process, chelation therapy can be helpful, keeping in mind that lead possibly is deposited in the bones and preventing calcium from maintaining bone density. The number of people dealing with diabetes becomes more manageable, and certainly reducing your risk of cancer. You think about the toxic metals that are preventing your immune system from functioning normally. Very, very helpful when you have removed those toxic metals.
Now, you, speaking about diabetes and insulin resistance are on the rise, and yet the doctors are not testing for it. That's
so they're not doing fasting insulin blood tests?
Probably not doing fasting insulin, but even if you did a fasting insulin and fasting blood sugar, you'll miss a large percentage of people who have what's called prediabetes. Prediabetes actually means insulin resistance, where you have elevated insulin levels in order to control your blood sugar. And a fasting test gives your body enough time to go back to baseline, go back to normal, so you can miss it. So unless you have a glucose insulin challenge test, you're not going to pick it up. And it's quite a shame that the doctors don't want to take the time to identify this in their patients.
It's interesting because my observation has been that in the natural community, years before it was generally available in a mainstream physician's blood test, naturopaths were recommending to do a glycohemoglobin test. Very, very interesting information. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio, and that music means it's time for us to take a break. Stay with us. More to come.
Advanced Medical Testing Centers is proud to sponsor Natural Doc Radio, co-hosted by Herbert Slavin and Janet Cimarelli. They're located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard, Suite 209 in Lauder Hill. And you can find them on the web at advancedmedicaltesting.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is your premier blood draw center, staffed by professionals with over 15 years' experience. Clean, comfortable, and efficient. They guarantee your appointment time and guarantee the lowest prices. They test for cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, and more. They draw for all specialty labs, including Access, Health Diagnostics, Simulex, Innovative, Quest, LabCorp, and others. Call them today to set up an appointment. 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332.
The Institute of Advanced Medicine brings you the latest in natural health care, reviewing the published research, attending conferences with health experts from around the world, That allows the healthcare team at the Institute of Advanced Medicine in Lauderhill to provide you the quality and experience you're searching for in a healthcare team. Testing to target your individual needs and treating with natural and holistic approaches, the goal is wellness. You can reach the Institute of Advanced Medicine easily on Commercial Boulevard just west of the Florida Turnpike or three blocks east of University Drive in Lauderhill. You can call us 954-748-4991 to learn more. 954-748-4991. And welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin. And a reminder that this show is brought to you by Advanced Medical Testing Centers. And you will find at Advanced Medical Testing Centers, you can go to amtcenters.com and find out all about the many different types of tests that you're able to access at AMT centers.
And Janet, you know, the feedback I get from people, patients that come here, and they don't leave their doctors. They come in because they want to get this information, and we can order it and get their insurance companies to pay for it. The doctors aren't doing it. But we encourage you to see if you can get your doctors to order some of these tests. It's important to find out. Now, here's another interesting point that I wasn't aware of, and I wonder if you were. It says, according to a recent study, type 2 diabetics tend to have been more overexposed to antibiotics in the years prior to their diagnosis compared to non-diabetics.
Very, very interesting. But here's how I was not aware of that. But here I have the explanation for why that might be so. When you're taking antibiotics, you wipe out the beneficial bacteria. Those beneficial bacteria are instrumental in properly metabolizing the whole profile of B-complex nutrients. And those B-complex nutrients, including specifically choline and inositol, must very much be present in order to contribute to their blood sugar balancing capacity.
Now, okay, patients will say, well, I didn't take any prescriptive antibiotics, but you get it from the food, right. Particularly factory raised animals. So they're given lots of antibiotics. Now, the other promoter of diabetes, they've said specifically in women, but I'm not sure if it doesn't apply to men as well, are statin drugs.
There's more and more information coming available with regard to the role that statin drugs do play in the development of diabetes. It's very interesting, Dr. Slavin, because for a variety of different health issues, you think about the increase in the number of diagnoses, and I'm talking about arthritis and muscle and joint pain. I'm talking about diabetes. I'm talking about dementia and Alzheimer's disease, insomnia. All of those different things are very much on the rise in the American population, and more and more and more people at younger and younger ages have succumbed to, I'm going to say, the brainwashing on the part of the medical community and the pharmaceutical companies that make people believe that cardiovascular disease, the problem with being diagnosed with that, is due to cholesterol. Indeed, many, many factors other than cholesterol.
And one of the ways you can test for it, I mean, a real factor are inflammation in the body. And that's another area that the doctors aren't testing. You know, the whole panel of inflammatory markers that you need to see. So then you can make the changes. And what are some of the changes? Now, here's the thing people have to realize. Diabetes is preventable and easily treatable with diet alone. Now, we're specifically speaking of adult onset diabetes.
Type 2. Because we see younger and younger and younger people.
Which makes up 90% of people classified as diabetic. And the distinction between type 1 and type 2. Type 1, those are people, their pancreas can no longer make insulin. 10% of the diabetics. 90%, they have insulin resistance. Their pancreas is making it. It's just not working. So what do you do? How do you change your diet to reverse this whole problem? High-quality, healthy fats. They're recommending now 50 to 85% of your daily calories be in the form of healthy fats. Now, I remember the 70-30-30, 70% carbohydrates, 30% protein, 30% fats. So this is a big deviation from that.
Okay, and what do all of the doctors who've seen their patients with elevated cholesterol levels tell their patients? Low-fat diet, low-fat diet, and that is not the way to go.
So here's an example of things you can do. Some of the good sources of fats include coconut and coconut oil, avocados, butter, nuts, and animal fats. Now, remember, you want everything to be organic as well.
Right. Coconut oil, fabulous. Olive oil. I am very much a big fan of olive oil. Unfortunately, it's starting to get a bad rap out there. I don't know why. People are being told to choose other oils besides olive oil because of the saturation rates with olive oil. Very, very interesting. But I think olive oil and lemon juice in the morning, excellent, excellent combination. Really, really good for your liver. And lemon juice in your water. Very important. Just tiny little things day by day by day that you can use to improve your overall health.
Okay. So you want to increase the amount of healthy fats in your diet. Then you want to have as many non-starchy vegetables.
Right.
Don't hesitate. Eat those vegetables. I think a lot of people really hate vegetables, and they don't include that at all.
So many people have succumbed to the phrase, eat your fruits and vegetables, and it's the other way around. Eat your vegetables and a little bit of fruit.
But I how often do you hear someone say, I'm a meat and potatoes guy?
Oh, lots.
Right?
Yep.
So that's bad. That's bad.
Well, okay. A small amount of white potato, including the skin. One of the things that I tell people if they are really loving their white potatoes is scoop out the white starchy center, use about an inch of the white part and the skin, and you consume the skin having fiber, and that's where all the minerals are.
How about sour cream?
Yeah, well, a little bit of organic, grass-grazed butter. Okay, fabulous, fabulous, fabulous. A little bit of organic sour cream. There are fake and bacon bits. Fake and bacon bits are made from soy, and you could use those. You could use a little bit of turkey bacon.
Regular bacon?
You can have organic, humanely raised. It's crucial. And no nitrates, no nitrites. And then you can use those bacon bits. Not readily available at your favorite restaurant.
And here's something we have to think about as well. You want to probably cut down on the amount of protein with each meal.
Why?
Well, let me just say that you can get substantial amounts of protein from meat, fish, eggs, dairy products, legumes, and nuts. You also want to make sure your sources of protein are organically raised, grass-fed, pastured meats. That's another term they use, which means grass-fed. The question I have, too, is when they say pastured meats, could it be that they're pastured an hour a day and the rest of the time they're eating, you know, the corn and the soy?
Well, it's very interesting. My experience in Colorado, you see these huge fenced fields in the prairie where the cattle are, but all around the edge of the fence is the feeding trough, and what they're being fed are grains. So they're pastured.
So they're very misleading.
A questionable diet,
right.
Yeah.
Misleading. But the key to here, again, is to avoid antibiotics, avoid genetically modified organisms, which means you don't want them eating those grains, the soy and the corn, because that's all genetically modified.
Right.
And pesticides. I'm not sure the labels on the meat are going to indicate that they weren't fed the corn or the soy that's genetically modified.
That's when you have to say grass grazed, organically raised.
Yeah, sometimes you have to do your research on that one. Mm-hmm. And the reason I'm saying pretty much all corn and soy in this country are GMO.
Yes. Well, at least the feed for the cattle. Yeah.
And here's something we've been talking about over and over again, and I think it's a good approach, and that's your intermittent fasting. Eat during a 6 and 8 hour window each day and give your bodies between 16 and 18 hours of repair time, time to work on itself, to switch over from burning carbohydrates for energy to burning fats. And it improves your health in many different ways.
And you're choosing the food in that 8 hour window, not from food choices that come from a box, not pasta, potato, fried foods, starchy things, certainly not high sugar things. You can have fruit, but just a very reasonable amount. I'd be very much of the opinion that you should stay away from fruit juices. If you like a little bit of the taste of, say, grape juice or pomegranate juice or grapefruit juice, something like that, that you drink a very big glass of water and just a little bit, maybe an ounce or two of whatever juice you're enjoying.
Now, the reason we say eat organic as much as possible, that's because you want to avoid genetically modified foods. And the reason you want to avoid genetically modified foods, the modification has to do with making them resistant to Roundup or glyphosates. Glyphosates are a weed killer. And it's being...
And a bee killer.
And a bee killer. And it's being reclassified, too, as a probable carcinogen. And just recently in California, they're putting out a proposition to say that Roundup is a possible carcinogen. Now, here's the problem, and you have to think about this. Again, money intervenes in so many things. So when things don't make sense, follow the money trail. In 2013, in the midst of mounting questions about the safety of glyphosate, the Environmental Protection Agency doubled allowable limits of glyphosate in flax, soybean, and canola from 20 to 40 parts per million. Now, these limits really don't make any sense because it's like not looking at drug interactions. You know, one drug might be safe, another drug might be safe. You put the two drugs together, and who knows what's going to happen. Well, how many people are eating multiple foods that have been treated with glyphosate, the weed killer, and nobody's really measuring that amount? And that's a real problem. Now, one last thing before we take a break. Researchers found that Roundup, which is the trade name for glyphosate, causes necrosis and apoptosis in human cells. That means it's killing cells, starting at 50 parts per million. And that's far below the agricultural dilutions. In other words, they're using much higher concentrations than that. So that's where your risks all stem from.
Those much higher concentrations are necessary because the products are less sugary. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin. We'll be right back. Current medical treatment addresses problems and symptoms when your ship of health has gone aground, hit the shoals of disease, so to speak. Now, advanced medical testing helps to guide you through the stormy seas of disease. The information from high-tech lab tests such as Doctor's Data, Spectracell, Cleveland Heart Lab, Access, Health Diagnostics Laboratory, and Genova. These advanced tests assist you and your doctor to navigate the treacherous waters of disease development. Call 754-216-2332 to find out more,
or visit amtcenters.com.
Are you in search of the fountain of youth, trying to figure out how to stay young and healthy? There are three main factors that will determine how well you age. The good news is you can take control of all of them and dramatically slow down your aging process. Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor, offers remote counseling sessions. She'll work with you to help you manage these three areas to stay young, vibrant, and healthy. She'll help you maintain optimal health that will have you looking and feeling young again. Sessions are offered via telephone, Skype, or email. Sessions are 30 minutes long, and she'll provide you with the in-depth knowledge and information you need to slow the aging process. Schedule your appointment today at janetcimarelli.com. Don't wait. Your clock is ticking.
And welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin. And just a reminder, tomorrow our very, very special guest, Dr. Sherry Rogers. Dr. Rogers is the author of two books that we'll be discussing, one tomorrow and one next Friday, October 2nd. And we'll be talking about Detoxify or Die. And Dr. Rogers' other book is Your Cardiologist Killing You? Very interesting title. Very interesting discussion, I'm sure. And then also coming up, I don't necessarily have a date to share with you yet, but Dr. Len Horowitz will be joining us. And I want to remind you that all of this is brought to you by AMT Centers and Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Find out if your insurance covers tests you may be interested in. Speak to an expert at AMT Centers. Call 754-216-2332. Dr. Slavin?
And Janet, we've set up a number with this radio program, Natural Doc Radio. For people that want to leave a comment or ask a question, you can just call the number. There's no live person you need to speak to, because I know a lot of people don't like to talk to people necessarily.
That's too bad. Do you remember when we used to have all kinds of callers on the radio and we'd have great discussions?
Yeah, and we don't mind that, except sometimes it disrupts the flow of the program if we want to get a lot of information through. But this is a way to get your thoughts addressed. Yeah, have a question about something. This way we can address it in a timely fashion. The phone number is 954-338-7313. 954-338-7313.
So call in and leave your Stump the Doctor and Stump Anything. The Nutritionist question or your comment, what you'd like to hear discussed on Natural Doc Radio.
Right, or maybe if you do your homework before tomorrow's show on Sherry Rogers, you might think of some questions you might like us to ask her, or you know, something like that. Sherry Rogers has written many books and basically takes the same approach that we take here. It's so much easier to avoid disease than to have to treat it. And, of course, in her book, she talks about both treating disease and avoiding disease. But if you implement these strategies before you get sick, it just makes more sense. And it's not about just about eating healthier, but being aware of all the things that undermine your health that you might not even be aware of. That's the point. We're surrounded by so many things that we take for granted, and we don't even think about the fact that that might be bad for us. Can you think of anything that fits that category, Jen?
Surrounded by those things in the grocery stores.
I mean, let's start from the minute you wake up, right? You go brush your teeth. Okay, you're now using probably toothpaste that has ingredients that you should avoid.
Okay, if you're buying them in the health food store.
Right, I'm just saying, right?
That's the only place where you can get a non-fluoride toothpaste.
Or you take a shower and you're exposed to chlorinated water.
Unless you've purchased your shower filter at the health food store.
But think about it. It's not just the water touching your body. It's the fumes you're inhaling in the shower.
Right.
Then you use your underarm deodorant. Hopefully not an antiperspirant. These are, again, exposure to toxins. Then you're putting on perfume and makeup.
Okay.
More exposure.
Well, hopefully they're using Silver 100 as the deodorant that will neutralize the microorganisms that tend to cause odor. Makeup, there are all kinds of organic choices in the health food stores.
So I'm just saying, even before you leave the house, look how many things you've been exposed to, and we haven't even started with breakfast yet.
I'm thinking of your eggs in the Teflon pan or your oatmeal in the microwave.
Right, or cooking anything in the microwave. Not, you know, the people cooking their eggs in the microwave or, you know, just using the microwave, period, because of the negative effects it has on the food. Not to mention, you know, all the sugars that you have at breakfast time seems to be the...
Not our listeners. No, no, no.
Okay. So disregard that last statement. So I'm just saying all the things that we do, we don't even think about it. It's like we're on autopilot in the morning, and you don't think about all the things you just did that you can make changes if, you know, if you're not doing, if you haven't made the changes already, just to make your life a little safer.
Hopefully you've had a really good night's sleep, and when you woke up, you were full of energy and you were waking up sufficiently early not to be stressed by a routine of getting out the door on time because those internally produce toxins.
So our strategy that we recommend of intermittent fasting, we're going to save you a lot of time because you don't have to have breakfast in the morning. So you can avoid all those sugars and starches that typically make up a breakfast. That's what the patients tell me. I tell them avoid the carbohydrates, what's left to eat, they say. But you can drink water, all the water you want. Another good strategy, because...
A spoonful of coconut oil, very, very satisfying and good fuel.
I was going to say before meals have the 2 glasses of water. Mm-hmm. What percentage of the people that you see in the various locations you're at could stand to lose a few pounds?
It's very, very interesting. So even with the most significant health challenges, the people who come to me, one of the first things that they talk to me about is they want to lose weight. They might be dealing with migraine headaches. They might be dealing with insomnia. They might be dealing with a lot of serious problems, but the first thing they want to talk about is losing weight.
See, but you really shouldn't focus on losing weight. You focus on a healthy lifestyle. The weight will come off.
I have a question for you, Dr. Slavin. The recommendation has been made to do 16 ounces of water before any meal. And I struggle with that because is that going to create too much of a dilution of the digestive enzymes and acids in your stomach, and then the food that you're consuming might not necessarily be thoroughly, properly digested? The 16 ounces very surely will make people feel very full, and they will much likely eat a great deal less at each meal. Do you have a comment on that?
Well, I think if you eat it, I mean, or drink it, you know, let's say 15 to 30 minutes before you actually eat, it'll be absorbed.
Okay.
Because the water will get absorbed right away. It's not going to stay in your stomach and dilute all the digestive enzymes. But that's a good point. Try to drink as little as possible with your meals,
right,
because that certainly will dilute the digestive enzymes and could make a difference.
One of the things that I tell people who are dealing with digestive problems is no icy cold drinks and no burning hot drinks to try and stay kind of in the middle of the road. Do you have a comment on that?
Well, I can understand the icy cold drinks. You know, it's going to cause vasoconstriction and just reduce the effectiveness of all the functions in the digestive tract. I'm not sure about the super hot. You just don't want to burn your tissues. But what other reasons for avoiding the super hot?
I can't think of any right off the top of my head. But that's I tell people warm is really good, and just that it's not natural to have something hotter than your body temperature. You know, you really, it might be a little bit of a stress. I don't know.
Well, you don't want to burn your
tongue,
your mouth, because that's happened.
Absolutely.
Right? With soup or, mm-hmm. you know, coffee or tea. So, you know, so that you should avoid. I think if something is really too hot, you wait a few minutes, it'll cool
mm-hmm.
down.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing, you know what's particularly bad, it comes to mind right now, the cheese on pizza. You ever have that where it's so hot and it's not like a liquid, it just stays there and keeps burning you?
Ow. Ooh.
That's never happened to you?
No, it hasn't. Pizza's okay. Not one of my favorite
foods. No, I don't have
foods.
It now
I
anymore.
I must not really be a true Italian American.
Cheese on anything, though. Sometimes you put cheese on other
mm-hmm.
foods.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that can be really hot
mm-hmm.
and burn you. But all right, we got past breakfast. Now you're going in the car. Hopefully your exhaust system in the car, you're not breathing in fumes and that.
One of the things that I have been reminded is when you get into a very hot car, open your windows because the heat in that enclosed area tends to free the chemicals that will be in the components mm-hmm. in your interior of your car. So open the windows, let the breeze blow through before you close them and put the AC on.
And that's another good point.
And we are out of time, Dr. Slavin. The hour goes by so quickly. We have so much to say, so much to share. Keep in mind, AMT Centers is a sponsor of Natural Doc Radio. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 10 with Dr. Sherry Rogers. Thanks so much for tuning in.
Bye-bye, everybody.
You have been listening to Natural Doc Radio. Brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Listen every day for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in again next time. And get healthy. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of the station, its staff, management, or sponsors.